Take me riding in the car, car, take me riding in the car, car. Take you riding in my car, car, I'll take you riding in my car. Click, clank, open up a door, girls. Click, clank, open up a door, boys. Front door, back door, click a dick, clack, take you riding in my car.
Good evening and welcome to Outbeat Collage Out in the Arts. I'm Gary Carnevale here in the studio with my co-host Michaela Kennan. Tonight we'll be chatting with Rachel Gardner from Food for Thought. Then later in the show, it's a conversation with Maria Dussault, musician by heart, mechanic by trade, and blazing her own trail as owner-operator of Out West Garage in Petaluma. There's lots ahead, so stay right where you are. First, it's Outbeat Radio News.
And that was classic Woody Guthrie you heard opening up our program with his car song. You are tuned in to Outbeat Collage here on KRCV-FM, your first and foremost voice of the LGBT arts and culture scene right here in the beautiful North Bay. Let's begin tonight's program with Greg Moralia and the Outbeat News.
Say, 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 tell it like it is.
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for Sunday, November 18th, 2012. LGBT life in Africa continues to be threatened seriously, first in Uganda, as lawmakers will likely vote to make homosexuality a capital offense by the end of this calendar year. Although the bill has been pending in their legislature for some time and received worldwide criticism, energy to pass the bill picked up recently when Uganda's Speaker of Parliament, Rebecca Kadaga, said, "If the price of aid is going to be the promotion of homosexuality in this country, I think we don't want that aid. I will not accept to be intimidated or to be directed by any government in the world because we are independent. I will now instruct the chair of the Committee of Legal and Parliamentary Affairs to quickly bring up the report of the anti-homosexuality bill so that we can discuss it and so that Uganda can take a position." Sodomy is already illegal in that country and punishable by up to 14 years in prison, but the so-called Kill the Gays bill, sponsored by David Bahati, is languishing in Parliament since international outcry tabled the discussion last year. The proposed bill would penalize aggravated homosexuality, as including consensual same-sex acts committed by repeat offenders, anyone who is in a position of power, is HIV positive, or uses intoxicating agents in the process. And lawmakers in Nigeria are moving closer to passing a law that criminalizes even kissing between two men. The bill is nearing passage, according to the AFP, having cleared the Senate last year and now gotten a second reading in the House of Representatives. If signed by the country's president, same-sex couples would be sentenced to 10 years in prison for making a public show of affection. Getting married could cost you 14 years in prison, plus jail time for anyone who helped make the wedding happen. And here in the U.S., a record number of businesses earned the top score in the 2013 Corporate Equality Index released Wednesday by the Human Rights Campaign, demonstrating what the organization calls a new normal in terms of corporate America's support for LGBT workers. Some 252 businesses achieved a 100% score this year, compared to only 13 businesses in the inaugural index 11 years ago. The top Fortune 1000 companies in this year's index receiving a 100% score include Chevron, General Motors, Bank of America, Ford Motor Company, Hewlett-Packard, AT&T, JP Morgan Chase, Citigroup, Verizon Communications, AIG, IBM, Cardinal Health, and Freddie Mac. You can learn more about this year's Corporate Equality Index by going to www.hrc.org/corporate-equality-index. A Transgender Day of Remembrance will happen this coming Tuesday, November 20th, around the world, to memorialize those who have been killed as a result of transphobia or the hatred or fear of transgender and gender nonconforming people. The annual event acts to bring attention to the continued violence endured by the transgender community. The event was founded in 1998 by Massachusetts residents Gwendolyn Ann Smith, a transgender activist, to memorialize the murder of Rita Hessler. Transgender Day of Remembrance will happen here in Sonoma County in Guerneville. The event begins at Sonoma Nesting Company at 6 p.m. with a performance by Casadero resident Gwen Sugar Mama Avery, recognized as one of the finest blues artists, followed by novice sister Lucille, who will share her real-life experiences as a transgender person, and remembrance of Sister Mariposa Flutterby by the Russian River Sisters. As people arrive, they will be handed candles and slips of paper on which they may write the names of those who have lost their lives during the previous year. Grace de la Tour will talk about what it's like to be the parent of a transgender youth, and afterwards, Kristen Lisigen, a Norwegian author and photographer, will read from her upcoming book, The Boy Who Wasn't a Lesbian. With lit candles, the attendees will walk to the R3 Hotel on 4th Street, where Sister Sarah Femme Fatale will perform a blessing, and the transgender flag will be raised, followed by Jasmine de la Tour reading her poetry. After the reading, participants are invited to Whitehall Wine Bar in Guerneville, where photographer Chloe Mayer will be on hand to discuss her photographic work, which is on display through November 30th. For more information about this year's Transgender Day of Remembrance, visit the Russian River Sisters website at rrsisters.org. Now here's your calendar of events for the coming week. On Tuesday, November 20th at 7 p.m., a new volunteer orientation will take place at Food for Thought, Sonoma County AIDS Food Bank, 6550 Railroad Avenue in Forestville. And on Friday, November 23rd at 7:30 p.m., the PFLAG Santa Rosa Support Group will meet at Positive Images, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. From all of us at the Outbeat Radio News team, we hope you have a wonderful and peaceful Thanksgiving holiday. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Outbeat Collage with Gary Carnevale and Michaela Kennan.
Welcome back to Outbeat Collage. This is Gary Carnevale. Thank you, Greg, for the wonderful news segment. Dining Out for Life will take place Thursday, November 29th at 85 Sonoma County restaurants, ranging from Sonoma to Bodega Bay, from Petaluma to Healdsburg, and in many cities in between. Restaurants have committed to donate 25 or 50% of the day's sales to Food for Thought, Sonoma County AIDS Food Bank for that day. This is one of the biggest events for Food for Thought. And now to talk about this event is Rachel Gardner, who is one of the co-founders of Food for Thought's Organic Gardens and Horticultural Therapy Project, which she started in 1999. Welcome, Rachel.
Hi, Gary. Nice to talk to you.
Rachel?
Yes.
Oh, we're having some technical difficulties.
Can you hear me now?
Why don't we go to that first track of... Oh, I just can't hear her. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Gary. Can you hear me now?
Rachel?
Yes.
Can't hear. There we go. Is that Rachel? Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me now?
No, we're having trouble connecting with her. So let's go right to track one of our guests this evening, and we'll be right back.
Homebrew. a homebrew. Homebrew, she makes me feel good through and through. Homebrew, you're the best friend I ever knew. I don't get feeling down in the mouth. I wish I was a goose and I could fly south. Why don't you do what I often do and take another hit of homebrew?
Rachel? Rachel? Rachel, are you with us? Hold on 1 second. We're going to have to go with another one of those songs until we get... Get. And just a preview of the weekly jam sessions held at Out West Garage, an automotive repair build as women-owned and family-friendly. The Garage and the Band is a blended mix of business and pleasure by mechanic and musician Maria Dussault, who just happens to be with us here tonight in the KRCB studios. Maria, welcome to Outbeat Collage.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Hi, Maria. It's good to have you here. So, as the old saying goes, that someone is born with a silver spoon in their mouth, is it fair to say that you were possibly born with a wrench in your hand?
A silver wrench, I'm sure. Well, yes, from the get-go. My father was always very clever in fixing anything that broke, and I was always watching.
I can imagine at the time it was considered unusual that a young girl should be interested in cars, let alone repairing them. Tell us about growing up around cars and how you really came to love working on them.
Absolutely. So we came from the Azores when I was 8, and my father didn't want to speak English. It was not his thing. But we needed to make a living. So my mother had done some house cleaning and things like that, and my dad was doing he had a regular job welding, but as a side job, we would buy cars and repair them. But how that happened was that I would go with him and buy the cars, so it would be a $50 car, and he would say, and I would say, "My daddy says 45. And we'd get the car because I had a nice smile and things like that. But anyway, so then we needed to fix it. So then I'd had to find the parts. We'd go to the wrecking yard or the parts houses or whatever. But I'd do all the talking. So since I was sent from the age of 8, it was one of those things that all the parts names and how to do things just became very natural.
Wow.
And so especially when we went to the wrecking yards and had to take a transmission out or something, it would be he and I would do it together. So and then my brother came along, but he's 7 years back, so he had to catch up, who happens to also be a mechanic now.
Wow, runs in the family.
Yeah, it does. It does, that cleverness.
The family business.
That's
great.
I would say,
I can just see an 8-year-old Maria there at the wrecking yard.
Oh, my God. And the parts houses, I would call up and, is Dave there? Because the particular guy who would help me a lot, it's a little Portuguese on the phone, oh, God. And that was it. But they were always very helpful, and, I learned a lot. So, knock wood, it all worked.
Excellent.
So at the time, was it considered unusual for a young girl to be interested in cars and mechanics?
Absolutely. I was, there was one other person, even in all the way through grammar school and stuff, it was something that I didn't talk to anyone about. I mean, there was no reason to. This was something that all happened at home. But in high school, I took auto shop, and there was one other woman in the class. Mm. And it was great. I got a scholarship. And when I graduated from high school, for one thing, from a family that gave me a scholarship, $50 to go $50 towards books if I went to the JC in either home ec or automotive, because they'd never given it to the same person for both, and they wanted to do that.
And you were game.
Yeah, I said, sure. Either one would work for me. So, yeah, it was very fun.
So in addition to fixing cars and working with your father, did you work with your mother and learn how to cook wonderful Portuguese food?
I didn't at the time because I had a sister who was 2 years older who loved that stuff. And I was very fine not to be there. But as I realize now that apparently I was paying a lot of attention because I can do all kinds of things, and I tend to do them just like my mother. So,
wow.
As far as the way I hold the spoon to scoop the whatever and... So I was paying attention.
That just sort of sunk in.
I think so. I think so. I got it on some level.
So you came up through the repair ranks by doing apprenticeships, working in other repair places, and inevitably you encountered some mindsets and attitudes that weren't the most welcoming or professional as a woman in that business.
I did, but not as much as many people and other women that I know who went through the trades of one sort of another, because as it happened, My first job was working installing batteries and tires at Sears, and it was at that period where they had to hire. They were forced to hire. Oh gosh, what was that called?
Oh right.
Well, they hired me, a black woman and a black man. The three of us were hired at the same time.
And affirmative action.
Affirmative action.
Ah.
Duh.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they had to. They hired the three of us in Vallejo, and we worked together the whole time I worked there, which was not that long.
Mm-hmm.
But in that, I was started taking. They had correspondence courses that Sears offered, and all that stuff. But I heard of Women in Apprenticeship in San Francisco, and I applied. Finally got that whole, it was a huge pile of paperwork, finally got it all done, dropped it off like on a Friday night. On Monday, a gay man who owned a shop in the city, it was a one-man shop, wanted a lesbian to train because he thought it would be really good for business. And I was right there.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw the paperwork hadn't even been processed, and I saw him, he hired me. He didn't hire me right away. I volunteered for 2 weeks, commuted from Vallejo. I could prove myself to him. He was a great teacher. So 2 years we did that. I worked there for him. So
nice.
So I had the advantage of, and then from there I went to another gay-owned shop, and I've worked at dealerships and so on in between. But at that first round of exposure was all very positive, very supportive. That was a blessing, absolutely.
And what was it like? I imagine the clientele was mostly LGBT.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, especially in the city. This was like, when was this? Like 80, 1980 or so? No, even before, 77, 78.
Wow.
So it was wonderful. It was wonderful. And it was also that the horrible time that started around there. But,
right.
But it was really, it was something. I was coming from, Azores, Benicia, and then San Francisco, LGBT, blah, 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 blah.
Right,
blah,
right.
Yeah.
And I bet folks really appreciated working with a lesbian and a gay man.
It was great.
Someone they can really trust.
Absolutely, absolutely. Most of our clientele was, the who's who of the gay lesbian community at the time. It was very fun. And that the second shop I worked at after that one is still, gay-owned and Cowden Automotive in San Francisco. And they're still doing great. He's been there like 30 years
now
or something.
Wow.
I know. Yeah. And then from then I tried other shops and worked here and there. But basically I had a very strong opinions of how to run a shop. Yes, I'm unemployable.
So much like all of us have at one time or another in our lives, when you got your first car, it brought a crash course in being a wise consumer, didn't it?
Oh, yes, it did. It's a little red Ford Courier. The first car I bought without anybody else's input. I didn't ask my dad. I was independent. I was living in the big city of Vallejo after moving from the big city of Benicia. And they're like, 3 miles apart or something. But I went and bought this from a dealer. Almost immediately I had a blown head gasket. Oh, it was just, it was a nightmare. Lawyers and all kinds of terrible stuff. And I never got any compensation. They offered to fix the car to a certain level, and they did. Then it broke apart again. It was a fast and nasty education around that, and that is something that has fed me from the beginning, that I don't want that to happen to anyone else. And that's part of the way I run my shop, is that it's I'm here to help you with that process.
So talk about deciding to open your own shop.
Sure. So after working for several other people at different times here, there, and everywhere in the Bay Area, in Berkeley and Albany and all these different things, and dealerships, at each shop, I had this very strong opinion of how things should be done. And I would go home and say, if I could do this myself, and I could do this myself. And my partner would say, all in good time. And I opened a shop with a partner in Oakland, and he was wonderful. He still is. And it got to the point where our son was starting kindergarten, and we wanted to move to a smaller area, just a better, smaller community, because that's how I grew up, and that's what I was looking for. And we found Petaluma, which has been just an amazing place. It is our It's the center of the universe, we think, we believe. And so after when we found Petaluma, I sold the other shop in Oakland to my business partner, and he still has it. It's, like I say, it's doing really well. But I realized then that the only way I was going to get full control, and I'm not a control freak, really, but full control of how the business is run was if I did it myself. And so this started from scratch, looking for a building, found the building, bought the first lift, all those things. But it is my, oh my God, it is my little sanctuary. I like going to work. I love going to work. I pull out my pants the night before. I get all ready. I walk to work, which is wonderful. I'm just a mile from work. It really is just an amazing spot for me.
With all of your experience up until that point, what did you see as a need that needed to be filled that you thought you could fill? And who were you aiming to serve? The LGBT community? Anyone?
Oh, anyone. LGBT, definitely. But I got to say that my first wave or the first circle are women, mainly because of all the obvious reasons that how women are often treated in that situation, and the way I was treated with that little red Ford Courier. I should have gone Japanese in the beginning. but the that whole experience was so big, and just that all the horror stories you hear from people about what happens when they go to certain shops or certain dealerships, or just the way they're treated, that they're just not heard. And I really am very proud of the fact that I try to be a very good listener. It's very important to me. And so because of that, that's the basis for a lot of what happens at the shop is I'm listening and I hear you. And if you're saying there's something wrong, there's probably something wrong. And it's not, you're not crazy.
That's such a, people don't think of having a relationship necessarily with their mechanic. But in fact, that's a very important part of doing business and trusting the people that you do business with, that they are listening, that they do care, and that you're able to interpret their sense that something's going click when it should be going clack. And you can kind of maybe ask questions and unravel that little mystery.
Exactly. Tease it out. It's so often the case. I mean, when someone comes up with, but my husband can't hear it, or my kids say I'm crazy or whatever, I believe them. Something has changed. Whether it's just, I mean, something very simple, you know, the radio antenna's hitting something or whatever, or something more complicated, but I believe you, and we'll get to the bottom of it. So let's go for a ride and see what it is. You know?
Sure.
Yeah, I love that.
And you do bill yourself, and you have from the beginning, as a woman-owned business. Was that an intentional business strategy or just part of the way you wanted to operate?
I would say it's a little of both. The way I wanted to operate was that I wanted to just call out, to wave to as many women especially, or people, and there's certainly been a lot of men who are frustrated with the automotive community in one way or another. I've certainly heard all the stories. It's not just women, but it seems to be a lot of women have talked to me about it. But the woman-owned, family-friendly is true. We're big. That's who I want. It's a family. It's a family calling. And we cater to kids, and we cater to, you know, teens who are just learning to drive. I do classes with them, and there's more than one teen I've taught to drive because of frustrations in relationship between parents and the kids. It's easier to have an outsider do it. That kind of thing. So it's the more of a calling for the community and the family and whatever trigger words I could put out there that would say, this is different. You know, come check it out. It's different. It's not what you expect. And so that was one of them. That was my main reason.
Sure. And we are going to, that's actually a very good segue into the part where we're going to start talking about the music and the jam sessions. And the music that you have been hearing is Homebrew, which is the real live garage band of Maria's and happens every week at Out West Garage. So we're going to take a musical break. During that time, we're going to see if we can get back and get Rachel Gardner from Food for Thought on the line. So here we go. Here's Homebrew.
Rachel?
Hi, Gary. Can you hear me?
I can't hear you, just barely, but the music is playing. Great. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
We will get to you in just a minute.
Perfect. I'll stand by.
Great. Thanks, hon. Do you have underwriting?
And you're listening to KRCB FM, Windsor, Santa Rosa, News, Arts, Ideas, Where You Are. Support for Outbeat on KRCB FM comes from members and from wacobb.net. With over 10,000 members, wacobb.net is a bulletin board for the North Bay progressive community, including a business directory featuring testimonials from our trusted business community. Information to list your business or find a service provider is available at wacobb.net. That's wacobb.net. Connecting Conscious Community.
Perfect. It's been a little wacko. It's been a little wacko here tonight. Rachel, I think we finally have you on the line.
I'm here.
Ah.
Yay.
Sorry about that. Thank you for being so patient.
I'm happy to be here with you.
Great. Thank you to our listeners for hanging in there with us. All right, Rachel, tell us all about Dining Out for Life.
Well, Dining Out for Life is the biggest fundraiser for Food for Thought, Sonoma County AIDS Food Bank, and we're counting on a really big night next Thursday, November 29th. And it's a great event. It actually is an event that takes place all over the country to benefit AIDS service agencies. And here in Sonoma County, it's for Food for Thought. And what it is that 85 restaurants throughout Sonoma County have agreed to donate 25 or 50% of everybody's food bill that eats in their restaurants that day. So we're counting on about, at least 500 diners who will go out and eat in all these restaurants. Last year, the event netted about $135,000 for us, which is a big amount of money that, you know, kind of covers some of the funding, the federal funding that we've lost over the last bunch of years to support our work. So we're counting on a big night and encouraging everybody to go out and eat. It's a really easy way to support the agency because there's such a wide range of restaurants that are participating that pretty much any kind of restaurant in any and every part of the county, you can find some place to eat, either breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and just by eating out, support us.
Right. So how do people find out if their favorite restaurant is participating?
Well, there's two ways. On there's a website. The National Dining Out for Life website is www.diningoutforlife.com. And if you go on there and look at Sonoma County, you'll see a list. And you could also go on to the Food for Thought website, which is fftfoodbank.org, and see the listing of restaurants there as well. And if you had any, you know, specific questions, you could always call the food bank at 887-1647. And like I said, they're all over from Bodega Bay. I think you did a great kind of overview, Gary, from Bodega Bay all the way out to Sonoma, Windsor and Healdsburg down to Petaluma. The whole county is covered, 85 restaurants.
Mm-hmm. So the meals, is it breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Yeah, whatever meals the restaurant is open for, they'll be donating money from those meals that day. We also have some, like, Sunshine Coffee Roasters in various locations all day long. Some restaurants are just open for dinner, and so, or just open for lunch and dinner, and so those are the meals. On the website, it indicates which meals the restaurants are open for, whether they're donating 25 or 50%. Some restaurants are actually donating 50% of the food bill, and some are going so far as to donate all of their or a portion of their alcohol sales, their wine and beer or cocktail sales also, and that's all indicated on the websites. So, and there's a range from pizza places and cafes to really fine dining. Mm-hmm. Places in Healdsburg like Zinn and Santa Rosa. We have Bistro 29, California Thai, Sebastopol. There's, gosh, about a dozen restaurants. So there's really quite a range in all of the areas.
Excellent. And people should not make the mistake that my partner and me made last year, not making reservations and just walking into restaurants because it's very busy.
Well, that's the plan. Yeah, I think if you and hopefully all of your listeners will plan to go out to eat at least one of those meals that day. And yeah, I think making a reservation reservation is a great idea. It's on a Thursday night, which is generally not the busiest night for restaurants. So one of the things that we as an agency offer the restaurants who are participating is that we're going to try to fill every one of those restaurants. We have ambassadors, volunteers. Gosh, I think about 150 or more volunteers that it takes to do this event, and there'll be ambassadors at each of the restaurants inviting their friends and getting the restaurants filled. So it should be a really busy night for everybody, and it's a great night for the restaurants and a great night for us.
We hope it'll be a great night. We're sure it will be a great night. Talk a bit about when Dining Out for Life started in Philadelphia 20 years ago.
Yeah, it started in 1999, and it has raised, it's been, I think it's 65 cities in the U.S. and Canada, raised, I think, about $4 million annually for HIV and AIDS-related services. We've been doing it in Food for Thought. This is our 12th annual Dining Out for Life. So we've been doing it for a long time, and it's just a great great benefit that we're lucky to have, you know, benefit our agency. Our executive director found out about Dining Out for Life at a conference that he participated in, a National Conference for AIDS Service Organizations, and he figured it would be a really great fit for us, especially since our focus is on as a food bank and because of the focus on food and wine in the county. So he brought it to us. He's been on the National Board of Dining Out for Life for several years, and it's been, like I said, a great event for us, our biggest fundraiser and something we really, really count on.
So for those who aren't familiar with Food for Thought, offer us a brief history of Food for Thought and what you do for folks who are affected by HIV/AIDS in Sonoma County.
Sure. Yeah, we've been around we're about to celebrate our 25th anniversary, 25 years of providing comprehensive nutrition services for anyone living in Sonoma County with a diagnosis of HIV or AIDS. And we provide weekly groceries that include high quality proteins, fresh produce, canned and packaged goods, lots of grains and really healthy foods, as well as comfort foods for people. We also provide nutritional supplementation and vitamins and nutritional counseling and also some social kind of gatherings for clients. And we're a community-based grassroots organization. We serve about 650 men, women, and children living in Sonoma County affected by HIV and AIDS. And we have about 500, actually about 600 volunteers throughout the county that help us do the work. So it's a great agency. We really help people who wouldn't otherwise have a lot of food, enough food, I'm sorry. And, you know, it's enough to be living with a really highly stigmatized and challenging disease like HIV without having to worry about where your next meal is coming from. Mm-hmm. So our commitment is to make sure that people have the dignity and security of knowing where they're, that they'll have enough to eat for themselves and their family.
Mm-hmm. Especially around the holidays.
Especially around the holidays. We, for Thanksgiving, starting last week and then this week, we'll be providing turkeys and chickens and all the fixings for the holidays. We'll do the same for Christmas. And for a lot of our clients, it's, you know, how they'll have, you know, that kind of nice big holiday meal for themselves and their families. And it's really important.
And this is a season of giving. Other than people participating in Dining Out for Life as diners or ambassadors, how else can they help Food for Thought?
Well, we could always use more volunteers this time of year and actually all year round. So calling the agency or going on our website and offering to do that is great. We have food drives all over the county. You can find out where they are every Saturday on our website. And so going to shop at those stores and buying a few extra things, putting it in our buckets really helps us out. And, of course, cash donations are really what keeps us going. So making donations to the food bank, especially this time of year, is really, really helpful and will help us keep food on everybody's table.
That's excellent. Rachel, give us those websites one more time.
Sure. For Dining Out for Life, it's diningoutforlife.com. That's the national website, and you can find all the restaurants that are participating. And if you go onto the food bank's website, which is www.fftfoodbank.org, you can also see the list of restaurants as well as a calendar of food drives, ways to make donations, and to find out more about our work there.
And everything that's going on, Food for Thought.
Everything that's going on,
which is plenty. Rachel, we thank you and everyone at Food for Thought for your good work in the community.
Thanks, Gary. Really appreciate your support and getting the word out about this and our work. And, you know, we like to do these shows not only to get support and let people know about the events that we're doing that, that raise funds for our work, but also to remind people that we're here. And if you or anyone you know is living with HIV in the county and not having enough food on your table and you're not already a client, please give us a call. We're here to help.
Rachel, thank you for joining us. Happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you somewhere Thursday, maybe.
Okay, Gary. Thanks so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay. We'll get back to a little music.
And welcome back, everyone. You are listening to the music of Homebrew and the musical talents of our guest for this evening, Maria Dosu. She is the owner of Out West Garage, and we're just happy that she's bringing this side of her talent to us as well. Maria, talk to us a little bit about this idea that you are a mechanic by trade, but the passion in your heart is for music. Mm. Why did you decide to pursue a career of fixing cars instead of making music?
Well, Let's see. I was very set that that's what I was going to do was music. I wanted to teach very young kids. My heart is in the, you know, 2, 3, 4 year olds. Love that age. And that was my focus. That's what I was going to do. Things were all going that way. And I even got a scholarship to go to school full time in music. And then as things came, approached, high school ended, I had to make the decision. And, when I looked at all the numbers, I realized that I could do music for fun, but I could do better financially if I was a mechanic. So I know that's I just needed my independent school. So that's what I did. My parents were very supportive, as they always have been, about everything, especially considering the cultural stuff. They've just been amazing. But no problem. My dad always said, you know, if you dig ditches, dig ditches well, and, mm-hmm. and you know, clean up after yourself, whatever. But so there was no problem. It was like, want to be a mechanic? That's an honorable trade. Go for it. And so I did. And that's, but the music thing had always been there, just always hovering. I did all the church, all the folk music stuff in church, and I sang several weddings at different times in my late high school years, but it was just not going to be a living, so I went towards the cars idea. And it was the right choice. Because now I have both.
Yes, there you
go. I have my cake and Edith, too.
So there was a point, though, where you had maybe gotten away from the music a little bit. You went through a medical crisis, and it brought it all home for you. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. Well, for about a 10-year period, I barely opened the guitar case. Haley and I were talking earlier about musty guitars. But barely opened it, just too much going on, life. We had a baby. My son was born in 1990, so all that came in order. And I just hadn't played much. And then in 2008, June of 2008, so this is all very recent, I had a TIA, a mini stroke. And it happened at work. As I was talking to a Kaiser psychologist, actually, so it was all very crazy and amazing. And at that point, it was a lot of medical appointments and a lot of medication and stuff I was taking. So we changed the way the shop ran and made the lead mechanic like a service manager kind of thing, just in case I wasn't going to be at the shop. And as well as, of course, through my mind, it's like, you're 5 times more likely to have a stroke now, a bigger stroke. What do you really want to do? So all this stuff, all these things happened, and thank goodness. And one of which was I started playing guitar again. I started singing. We started having this jam every Wednesday night at the shop, where at first it was just a few people, and now sometimes it's just crazy. We do it at the Moose Lodge couple of times a month, just because of space, but it is just the most wonderful thing. It just keeps me going. So the best part of all that is that because of the stroke, I made all these wonderful positive changes. I started walking to work and walking back and eating better and, you know, doing all the things you're supposed to do, playing music, singing, because what the hell? You know, this was going to be, this could be something really big. So last year, at the end of, or maybe it was even the beginning of this year, I went to see a neurologist for a funny twitch that I have. And she read my file and said, that wasn't a stroke. She went through everything and said, no, it couldn't have been a stroke. You see this. I don't know. I'm not the doctor. This is how I've been treated for the last, you know. She said, no, it's not. I'm going to change your diagnosis. Go talk to your doctor. They'll take you off the meds. It was like, okay.
Wow.
And so I'm eating better, exercising. There's full music in my life. You know, it's like, woo.
It's a miracle.
I know. It really is. And it's like, and of course, this woman, this neurologist looked like she was 12. So I was really scared. You know, it's like she was really young and very small. And she said, couldn't have been a stroke. Like, oh my God. So So I've changed all these wonderful things, and
right,
I'm fine.
A silver lighting.
I know. That's it's great. Like it's amazing. It really is. It's yeah. Like I couldn't have planned it better. Yeah.
So
it's
part
a good
of
kick in the butt.
Well, who knows how the cosmos works?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The beautiful thing is that you make going off to work sound more like you're going out to play. And you've created this wonderful workspace that is a gathering place as well. Talk about the importance of that in terms of not only your work philosophy, but the happiness it brings to your customers.
Mm. Oh, happy to. My goal, and this is, I know it all sounds cheesy, but I want people to walk in and get a hug. You know, it's virtual at first until they get to know me. Then they let me do it. But to just feel like, okay, you're here, your car's here. You know, we're skilled, well-staffed. We have all the equipment. But what really needs to happen is talk to me. You want to be heard. I'm going to talk to you like a real person. We're going to talk about this until we understand each other, whether it's the steps that need to be taken or the options that need to happen. And all this done in a respectful way, coming and going. I mean, that's my goal. You're in a safe place. You know, we can hold hands till the end, whatever needs to happen. And it just seems so easy and logical to me. It's karma, you know. Mm-hmm. If I believe in karma, so why would I do some things to jeopardize that?
Absolutely.
So it all comes around, and so that's my morning. You know, I get up, and that's how I approach the day. So,
and the word on the street is there's a tub of red licorice to dip out of, and
always.
There's toys on the counter, and TV blaring, and
no TV.
Oh,
no TV, no screens, but we have instruments for the kids to play, rhythm instruments and a couple of guitars, and we have a full-size bass that needs parental guidance, but her name is Savannah, and she has a sign on her to please be gentle with her. But the idea is you're there, you get exposed to all kinds of new things. It's a new feeling. It's like kids love to come back, you know. Parents are fine hanging out for an hour or two because there's something for them to do.
Right.
And I love that. It is just like, yeah, come on over. Like coming over for a cup of tea or something. Like, oh, yeah, come hang out. We'll do your oil change. It just
That's
happens
great.
To fix your car at the same time.
And kids can be pretty noisy in a garage.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh,
it's pretty
yeah.
noisy anyway, so.
Oh, and some little kids love, like, looking under a car. Or some kids have focus
right.
on wheels, you know. Like, oh, they just love that. They can stand on top of my desk and look out through this window and watch everything going up and down. They just go crazy, you know.
So you also do some educational workshops for the public. What kind of topics do you cover?
Well, I spend a lot of my day, it seems a bit of every day, it was a lot of my week, I should say, talking people through buying cars, finding cars. What did you find? What do you like? Why do you like that one? And so especially once you've found the car, we did a pre-purchase inspection. It's going to be okay. I love the one-on-one, a couple hours on a Saturday morning, of going through, this is how you check this. This is what this is. Where's the spare tire? How to get it out? That just like is empowering for me and for them. I feel like, whew. The bigger stuff, I've done it for school classes. I did one for the, Jewish ladies group. That meets once a month. I did a
great.
Workshop. I just took boxes of stuff. Girl Scouts, school groups. I have an honorary badge from the Girl Scouts. They have a car badge. I don't
wow,
know if you know that.
No.
They have to observe somebody changing the oil. They have to learn how to check tire pressures, check oil. And we made them take tires off, put tires on. It was great.
That's
it was great.
Great.
And they were at an age where they weren't rebelling, yeah, you know.
Right.
They could still take all that in, like 10,
right.
11. They were like
totally
opened
into everything.
It. They were just like,
right.
shit, out of the way, I'll do that.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's very
great.
Cool.
Future employees.
I take numbers.
Get them early.
Now, when you do the workshops, are there costs involved or reservations required?
Reservations, definitely, because I'm just not always there, and it depends how many people and how long and so on. So we definitely have to plan ahead. The cost, I hardly ever charge anything. So let's say there is no charge. Occasionally, if it's something going to be very particular and it's going to take a long time, we'll do $25 or something. But it's a great experience. It's a great reminder for me of this is the basics. This is really, the bread and butter or the bread and cheese. Glass of wine, it's perfect once you have that.
And it's all about community service. And
absolutely.
Not only in that way, but you also support and sponsor a lot of local organizations and community projects. Just briefly give us, how important is it to you in terms of contributing to overall community health and well-being that there is this interaction between you and the public?
Exactly. The interaction, the give and take. If I want them to support me, I want to support them. If I want our community to be the best and the whole shop local, be local in every way possible. And we are doing well, thank goodness. And as long as I have it, we're sharing, you know. If I ever can't, I won't. But as long as I can, I will. And because I do. It's the whole full circle thing again. It'll all comes back, so I have no fear of giving.
Absolutely. So do give us your website information.
It's outwestgarage.com. My email is maria@outwestgarage.com, and that's about it. It's all there as far as contact. It's all through the website. You can see all the information.
Yeah, and it's a fun website to read, too, and you sell postcards and everything. Yeah.
We love it. There's a new postcard coming out. We're working on a new one for the holidays, so very excited.
Is there information there about the band and how folks can hear the band or join the band?
No, but there should be, as far as the jam. If you're interested in the jam or being put on the list for the band, I don't. As much as of a garage band as it is, I try not to mix it up too much. It's the self-promoting thing. gets my Catholic guilt all excited. Just send me an email, maria@outwestgarage.com, and I'll certainly put you in the loop.
Wonderful. So all this, of course, is whether you need your car fixed or a band for your next party.
That's right. Or just a hug.
Oh, that's better, too. Good.
I'm a mush.
Well, it's been a wonderful, wonderful evening. Thank you for kind of bearing with us as we work out all of our little wacko gremlins here. Mm. This is live radio.
So flexibility is key.
It is.
Very good. It was my pleasure. Thank you.
But, yeah, absolutely. We're glad that you're there for us and for us as a community as well.
So, thank you.
Thanks. And we do want to remind everyone to tune in to Outbeat Collage next month when we'll be talking with physical therapy assistant Angie Antang about ourselves, our bodies, and managing stress during the holidays. Gary, I think you were talking to Lupe. You have a little bit of information Lupe?
A little. Ooh, I just got the email today. She's planning a holiday party on Facebook.
Okay.
We'll have more information next week, actually, on the Outbeat Radio News.
Good. Stay tuned on that one. As always, I do want to say thanks to our guests, Rachel Gardner, to Maria, of course, to Mike Young for helping us engineer tonight, to all of you for spending your Sunday evening with Gary and myself here on Outbeat. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Make it a great time and a great week. Enjoy your family. Bye-bye. Outbeat Radio.